Welcome to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast, where we ask today's most successful experts and entrepreneurs to share the most powerful lead generation and appointment setting tactics they use to build their business and grow their revenues. Now your host from the city that never sleeps, New York, is Kwesi Sachijinai.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining the conversation today. This is Kwesi Sachijinai, and my guest today is Caroline Fraser. Caroline is a senior marketing consultant, and she's the owner of the PR Shop, which is a marketing agency based in Chicago. Her company helps establish brands and small businesses transform marketing, messaging, and objectives into measurable results, which is really needed in this kind of ecosystem of marketing today. And the way she does this is by helping them successfully develop and execute creative and impactful integrated marketing strategies. She's worked with a lot of major brands, including Revlon, Visa, BET Networks, Swiss Beats, Curls, Maytag, and so many, many more. Right. Before we start our conversation, I want to take a moment to acknowledge one of our partners for today's episode, AGM. AGM is a B2B agency that helps you scale your business using LinkedIn. They have LinkedIn training, LinkedIn lead generation, LinkedIn recruiting, LinkedIn advertising services, and so much more. The company has been featured on the BBC, Entrepreneur Magazine, Huffington Post, and so many others. Right now, AGM is offering all of our listeners a free LinkedIn audit. Just go to abrahamglobal.com. That is abrahamglobal.com to reserve your session right now. So, Caroline, thanks so much for joining the conversation today. I'm really thrilled to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I'm thrilled about this conversation on two levels. First one is, you know, we connected a couple of months ago, and it's always empowering to hear, you know, your perspectives on PR, public relations, and marketing, and how, you know, small businesses can build resilience and so on. And I feel that's a super, super important message right now. The second level is that, you know, the community of business owners, the term PR seems to be this, you know, elusive terminology or concept, and it's really hard to understand.
Right.
And so I hope that through this conversation you can bring some clarity into what it means and how, you know, we can actually execute on that right. But before we delve into, you know, any of the details, I had a conversation with a friend yesterday, and I'm telling you a story because there's a reason to it.
Okay.
So he was curious about how businesses. He was curious about how businesses, you know, get this badge of honor or PR that says, oh, I've seen on CNN or Fox or, you know, Forbes and so on. And he signed up for this webinar and so on. And eventually these guys, you know, promised to get him on that kind of platform. And the way they do this is by just getting a snippet from you, like a quote, and, you know, just send it to affiliate media houses. So legally, yes, you've been on that, but I think for him, part of the challenge was, you know, ethically. And I bring this up because it's part of a reason why PR is so elusive. And I know PR is way more than that. So I want us to delve into the concept. What does a good PR strategy entail?
Yeah. So, you know, first I want to say that PR has many different facets. It's under the marketing umbrella. And, you know, several years ago, for me, fortunately, I was brought up in the traditional and the, you know, new media industry to where when I first started out in PR, it'll be about 10 years now, we delved heavily into traditional media, to where, you know, we picked up the phone and we pitched our clients and our brands to television outlets and, you know, editors for newspapers. And, you know, nowadays with new media, first of all, we'll probably touch on this later, but a lot of brands can really be their own media now with social media, with digital media. And then secondly, you know, the thing about being able to communicate with your audience through media, there's so many different ways to do that. It gets very, very confusing. What you mentioned about your friend, Kwesi, it sounds like there wasn't, did your friend pay? Did your friend happen to pay for that service?
Yeah, he paid a couple of bucks, close to,
okay.
I think so, over 1,000 or so.
Right. So even in media and, you know, press coverage and, you know, going back to how you said the elusiveness of it, we call that paid media, where as traditional publicists, you'll find a lot of the experts in that area. We believe in earned media, and earned media is the authentic, the organic media that is secured through a business telling their brand story and then a media outlet picking it up. That's a whole nother conversation. Your friend paid for, you know, the media coverage, and it's not as authentic, but it is used as a way to secure, you know, media opportunities or to build credibility. There's so much to dive into. I don't want to be all over the place. But with a PR strategy and PR content, what specifically do you want to know? Because I can go all over for this.
Yeah. So if you had to pick, you know, top three things that a business owner, a team, a fast growing team wants to consider when building a good PR strategy, what are the boxes that they should check?
Absolutely. So there's a few things. The business needs to assess what their overall objectives and goals are. So what do you want to do? Do you want to sell to consumers? Do you want to, you know, be bought out by, you know, another corporation? Do you want to build your brand? So figure out what your goals are. And then after that, a business needs to work on strategies, PR strategies or marketing strategies that, you know, will actually be effective. Are you going to reach that customer or that audience through social media content, or, you know, will you be able to, you know, secure an opportunity through getting a mention, you know, in Forbes magazine? How are you going to reach your audience to sell or, you know, to promote your brand? Make sure that your strategies are workable and that they're changeable. And then also you have to think about, you know, what is it, if you're selling to consumers, what is it that your audience really, really needs? You know, I think that a lot of businesses make mistakes by selfishly promoting themselves, you know, selfishly, you know, selling. But when it comes to PR, it's supposed to be more of an organic conversation, right? So it's about telling your brand story and letting the consumer decide if they want to support your brand. But it also entails finding that consumer. And that goes back to marketing. Where are they hanging out? Are they on social media? Mm. Or are they reading, you know, a certain publication? Do they attend events? So figuring out where they are and what, you know, what they do, and then also the media outlets that tailor to them. So oftentimes I find that brands will make mistakes when targeting their audience. They don't even know the publications that their target audience reads. They don't even know the, you know, social media platforms that their target audience is on. So determining, you know, how to find and to relay your message to your audience. There's more that goes into that, planning an organization and building, you know, a strategy plan and content planning, and then also measurement and assessment of those strategies.
Mm. So this might be the nerd in me asking, but how do you distinguish between, you know, how do you distinguish PR from marketing?
So remember I told you, you know, back in the day, I guess I can say back in the day now, PR was very, very specific. It was a specialized practice that did fall under marketing. But, you know, several years ago with PR, we knew that you would connect with your audience through the use of a media outlet. So we know that, you know, there's television and radio, you know, there's newspaper, and then there's, you know, events and partnerships and speaking opportunities. Now, with the merge of different practices under marketing, PR has adopted social media marketing. So we consider social media to be a part of PR. You know, we consider securing, you know, event partnerships and, you know, strategic relationships as PR. So the lines are definitely blurred. However, as publicists, we have to continue to be adaptable and to grow with, you know, whatever the industry is leading with.
Mm. And this is really interesting because another you know, really component of a conversation around PR and marketing mm-hmm. has always been how do we align it with sales? Because business owners are always concerned with how an activity affects the bottom line. So what is your experience regarding that? What do you say to business owners? How do you actually track that?
So let me tell you, this is a conversation that I am constantly having with companies, with businesses that, you know, contact us regarding public relations services. First, let me be clear to share with, you know, you and your audience that public relations is not sales. And I want to be very, very clear with that. It's not sales. A lot of people think, okay, well, if I get a media mention in the Wall Street Journal, you know, Essence Magazine, InStyle Magazine, that means that my company's going to blow up. I think that Oprah, as fabulous as her show was, you know, the Oprah effect. Are you familiar with what the Oprah effect is?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that a lot of brands that are not familiar with PR practices and PR marketing, they think that once your brand is mentioned in the media, that you will automatically sell. You know, you'll sell out,
right?
And your problem will, you know, actually be production. You know, how do I produce, you know, these enormous amount of products to be able to sell to people because I've been mentioned here or there. Those are exceptions to the rules. Okay. So there are situations where you'll, you know, have, you know, a media mention and you have thousands and thousands of inquiries and orders to fill as a result of that. However, with public relations, it enhances sales. You know, as a result of PR, it may drive sales, but we don't really, you know, I'm very careful to promise, hey, if you hire us and we do PR for you, then you are going to increase by this percentage in revenue. No, it's nothing that we can, you know, tangibly measure. However, there are ways to assess if it's working or not. You know, if you have benchmarks, for example, again, with PR, a lot of strategies that we use might be influencer partnerships, social media partnerships, social media shares and follows and engagement. So we can track that. We can track if, you know, we help to create a social media post and you set up an ad and then they, you know, it links to the website and you can see how many social clicks that you have that drives to the website. And then you can see, you know, on that specific day, you sold 35 different products, which is a, you know, 75% boost, you know, from what your average sales are per day. So you can track it in certain ways, but PR is not sales. And I want to be very clear about that. It's not sales.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's a really good point because I know people go to, for example, Shark Tank and, you know, a couple of days after it's the session airs on TV, they get massive boost in sales. And to some extent, yeah, there could be that effect. But what you're saying is it's important for people to understand that it's a process and that you should not expect any quick fix from any intentional PR marketing effort.
Exactly. And it depends on the outlet that you can, are placed on. So for example, you mentioned Shark Tank. What are the chances of a company getting on Shark Tank? You know, I consider those exceptions. What are the chances of a company getting on the Ellen show? It's an exception. And the reason why I say that is because people often don't understand that with certain media, they also have their goals, especially when it comes to TV and broadcast media. They have, you know, their viewership or listenership goals. With this, the type of economy that we're in, and, you know, everything is about money, money, money. Is this making this media outlet money? Is your story going to increase viewership? So they also look at what's trending. There's a lot of things that goes into play, seasonal. And then a lot of these big opportunities that we're talking about, businesses don't know, but you will likely have to sponsor, meaning pay out of your pocket. And I'm not talking about $2,000. I'm talking about $15,000, $20,000, $60,000 for these larger media opportunities, because they understand that when you have that exposure, it could significantly impact your business. So when you see people on those different, you know, shows or on those major, you know, media outlets, they probably either pay for it or their story was the perfect fit for that particular segment or show. So when you see, you know, the kid gets discovered for memorizing all of the continents and countries on these continents, like that's something that we would consider, you know, phenomenal. It's exceptional. The average person is not going to be able to do that. And then as a result of this 7-year-old child being able to, you know, memorize all of these countries and, you know, bold enough to perform in front of a live studio audience, that's a story. That's going to drive sales. That's going to drive viewership. So businesses need to keep that in mind. And that sort of segues into content, Kwesi. And, you know, I just want to touch on that. When you think about PR, are you really effectively sharing your brand story? Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to craft that? Just working with the media for, you know, the amount of time that I have, they want, there's a certain way to pitch them. There's a certain way to tell your story. So first of all, think about this. Let's use the Today Show, one of the most popular daytime television shows in the world, right? How many people do you think contact the Today Show to get exposure? That's a question that I would like for you to guess. Know.
Maybe a million? I don't know.
Pretty much. And the, okay. And the thing about that is, you let's say you have 2,000 people contact these Today Show producers every single day. So you have right? So and this is that's an understatement. But let's say typically for one producer, they get 2,000 email pitches a day. How do you cut through the clutter? How do you share your story? It has to be engaging content. It has to be quick. It has to be precise. It has to be meaningful. Are you pitching to the right outlet? You know, would you pitch to the Today Show about, you know, the newest aerospace engineering, you know, concept? No, because that's not really the right fit for that topic. You know, so also keeping what your brand does, you know, the product or service that you have in mind when you pitch to these different outlets.
Fascinating. So here's what I'm getting. You need to focus on the brand story. You need to choose the right outlet. I want to piggyback on the brand story. How do you make it stand out? What is the technique you use for a client? I know we're not paying you, but sure, that's some of the techniques you use.
So one of the techniques that I use is, you know, first and foremost, I have develop relationships in media just because I've been doing this thing for a little while now. And my media friends always tell me, I get so sick and tired of people pitching me and they don't even know what it is that I cover. They don't really care about what it is. You know, I have people pitching me about, you know, pet toys and pet clothes, and I cover beauty.
Right.
So the first thing is to know who it is that you are pitching to. And a really easy strategy that I use is Google. I will go online. I will type in, let's say, beauty editor, Essence Magazine. I work in multicultural beauty mostly, and I'll see who covers that. And then I'll go to their most recent articles, right? And then I'll see what they write about. So then I'll know, okay, this is what this person covers. This is their writing style. And then I can leverage that to contact them and say, hey, I just read your article on, you know, the best makeup brushes out there on the market. And I think that this opportunity would be great for you because my client, you know, has a makeup line that blah, 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 blah. So you need to make sure that you know what that person is covering. And then when it comes to crafting your story, to like, what is relevant? Is it something that you can tie into maybe some trending news? Or some seasonal news, maybe an observance, you know, National Beauty Day, something that makes it newsworthy because, again, their bottom line is to ensure that their audience is engaged. And oftentimes when you can tie your pitch to something that is already in the news, that's a great way to get your brand out there. So, you know, knowing who your contact is and what it is that they write about, and then making sure that your pitch ties into something. And then this is another very, very, very important tip is make sure that whatever you're doing, it's very concise. And precise, and you have pictures attached to your email or linked somewhere. I'm going to be very, very transparent with you. The media, they want to do as little, if you can help them do as little work as possible, meaning that you provide everything that they need, whether it's a, you know, video or a link to the website or to the expert or to the product, you know, even included inside of your email, making sure that your pitch could be easily transferable, Quasi, to the writer where they can kind of like copy and paste your content. And, you know, help them to better, you know, create their story. They love that. Whatever you can do to help to ease their workload, a lot of these people are extremely busy. That will give you a better chance. And then also just acknowledging that, hey, I've done my research and I know what you write about. And this is how, you know, this could help with, you know, your story, or this might be something that might be useful for you. Whatever you do, make it easier. Mm. Package everything nicely and, you know, don't be annoying. Send them an email, maybe follow up a couple of days after. Generally, if you don't hear back from that media contact within a few pitches, either they're not interested, they didn't get it, or it's just not the right time. And one sure sign, a telltale sign that they could be interested is they will respond back to you. And they'll say, hey, this is great. I'll keep this for later. Or thanks for reaching out. I'll look into it. Or, you know, tell me more. And that's how you know, because they will get it for the most part. And if they do and they respond, that means there's some type of interest there.
Gosh, this is so good. So, Caroline, where can people learn more about your work and connect with you? I know the conversation will be taken offline, but people would love to connect.
Absolutely. So we offer small business marketing consulting sessions for our small business clients because we know that mostly they might have a lean budget. And you can find more information about the consulting sessions and the PR shop at the PR shop. That's two P's, SHOPPE.BIZ. And then also on social media at the PR shop, PR.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Caroline.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast with Kwesi Sachi-Jinai. Find out more about how to get high-value appointments at Catalyze.io. And while you're there, check out the free resources for appointment setting. And be listening for the next episode of the Art of Appointment Setting podcast.